And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Mark Howard in the house this morning as well. Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got a lot to get into today here on the show. A busy weekend in the world of sports. Corey Curtis dropping by at 8 o'clock from News 2. Darren McFarland at 9 o'clock to recap what was a pretty cool weekend here from a NASCAR perspective as well. Coming up at 9 o'clock. So a lot to get to on that front. As always, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Mr. Mark Howard, how are we doing?
Good, Robbie. I have a major announcement, by the way, to start out the show.
Okay.
And that is, to comply with Major League Baseball, I will not be doing this show with any sticky substances. Oh. To increase my spin rate.
That's good. That's good. I mean, that's something that we've had to deal with for a long time with Howard. He comes in and
you
the spin
check
rate.
My hands.
Yeah, you got to check his hands. I mean, the spin rate. There's a lot of movement on that breaking ball.
Got to check for that sunscreen and rosin.
Yeah, sunscreen, rosin, everything.
So if my hands have a sticky substance, it's a donut.
There you go.
It's
not spider tack.
It's not spider tack.
There you go. That's good to know. I'm glad we established that. So what do you think? What do you think of all that? That's been the story in Major League Baseball the last few weeks.
Well, I think it's significant. I mean, everybody says it's an overrated story. It's not an overrated story. You talk to hitters around Major League Baseball, and they'll tell you that with the spider tack or whatever else they were using, they were seeing pitches that they've never seen before.
Yeah.
And now it's sort of leveling out the playing field a little bit. But, you know, with some pitchers, they're still going to be great. But I think it's going to affect some.
I think so, too. So we'll keep you monitored on that. We talked about that. Had a lot of spirited discussion on that on Friday with our listeners. Some hate it. Some really don't care about the spider tack. Don't really care about cheating in baseball. It's been interesting to watch how that works. So we'll continue that conversation throughout the show today as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. A busy weekend in the world of sports. We'll get to the College World Series coming up here in just a few minutes because obviously Vanderbilt and Tennessee in action over the weekend as well with varying results on that front. Let's start with the NHL. Old Barry Trotz. He's doing it again. It's 2-2 between the Lightning and the Canadiens. Vegas wins last night, 2-2 in that series as well. We've got some good Stanley Cup semifinals going on, Ryan Porth.
Well, I think, you know, Vegas, the way they absolutely gacked away game three.
Yeah.
You know, Marc-Andre Fleury with that misplay in front of the net and Josh Anderson cashing in, and then the Canadiens winning again in overtime. And then last night, Montreal leading 1-0 till midway through the third period, and going into that defensive shell that makes it just really difficult to get to the net, to get through the neutral zone, and Vegas, you know, figured out a way to tie it and then win it in overtime. And I think if Vegas hoists the cup, which is unfortunately a definite possibility. I'm not a big fan of the Golden Knights, but
I think you speak for a lot of people.
But anyway, they will point to game four
as
one of the turning points because going back to Vegas down 3-1, they would have been frustrated. Canadians would have been in their heads. But now it's the best of three. And, yeah, it's by no means over. But, you know, Vegas, you know, can look right now and see that it's the best of three, and two of those games are going to be in their house. And, you know, I think that's a distinct advantage.
Especially with the crowd they've got rolling in there right now, for
sure.
Ryan Porth, no sweep for Vegas. No Vegas in five either.
Nope.
Bob is all over you on Twitter, by the way.
Is he?
Bob has been talking about you all weekend long on Twitter, whether it's the Islanders, whether it's the Canadiens. That Montreal, New York Islanders Stanley Cup final is still alive.
Well, yes, it's still alive. I haven't been ragging on the Islanders. I mean, I've thought all along that the Lightning would win the series, but that has been a series where I, even before the series started, could see going seven because the Islanders are just a really, really tough team to play against right now. And yes, I did say Vegas sweeping Montreal, because on paper those two teams aren't very close at all in my mind outside of the goaltending. So, you know, credit to Montreal for cashing in on a stupid misplay by Fleury in game three. You know, a lucky win in game three. You know.
You know what I smell? I smell burnt money.
I do too. That's what I smell as well.
There was burnt money in another game this weekend. I'll say that.
Hey, at least the Ottawa Senators aren't involved anymore. There's a lot of burnt money on that front.
Oh, my gosh.
Year.
Don't even get me started on the Ottawa Senators. My least favorite team in sports.
Really?
Sure they are.
Let me give you another one even worse. Say, hypothetically, you had the Dodgers -1.5 yesterday. Because that's what you do every morning.
Yeah.
You get up, you brush your teeth, you shave. And you bet on the Dodgers -1.5 against Arizona.
Yes.
They were up 9-1 in the sixth inning against Arizona. They were up 9-2 in the eighth inning against Arizona. And then Arizona, you know, team dead man walking, scored six runs to make it 9-8. And then, of course, in the ninth, the Dodgers had first and third with one out. This is all stuff I heard. You know, I just
the rumor
on
the street.
I had no emotional stake in this, of course. And the Dodgers didn't score, making the final 9-8. So if you had the Dodgers -1.5, you lose.
Yeah. As a speaking of that, how about that over under 11.5 for the Vandy game with Kumar Rocker in Arizona? We were sitting here on Fridays. Okay, does Vegas know something that we don't? And the answer is always yes.
They always know something. That line dropped, by the way, from 11.5 to 9.5 by before first pitch.
I know.
And I had someone tweet me saying, did you single-handedly drop that line? I'm like, well, maybe. I played a part, obviously. And, I mean, I was texting you in the first inning. I was like, this over is going to hit. 3-1 after the first inning.
You could tell in the first inning.
It still had a prayer late in the game. And then Arizona ties it at 6.
Yeah.
And then it went down the drain.
Just a tough one, boys, over the weekend on that front.
although I had one go my way opposite of Mark, of what he's saying. Blue Jays Orioles on Saturday, where the Orioles are up like 7-3 in the eighth, and the Blue Jays end up winning 10-7.
Okay.
And I have Blue Jays -2.5.
So it evens out.
Ryan, 2.5?
Yes.
Oh, my. Boy, you are confident. Ryan Mountcastle had 3 home runs for the Orioles.
2.5. Ryan Bourque just laying it out there with Major League Baseball lines. We'll get to weekend winners a little bit later this week. Another good weekend for Robbie Stanley.
Good for you.
It's too late. A little bit too late here in the competition. What do you think of NASCAR weekend coming to town?
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
And I have really experienced the whole spectrum of what's happened between NASCAR and Nashville. I got here in 1986, right just a couple of years after NASCAR left, and covered a lot of things out at the fairgrounds. And Nashville was carrying the torch for NASCAR, who kind of led Nashville on. But it became pretty evident that Nashville was not a priority for NASCAR, because they felt like in the Southeast, you know, they had Bristol, they had Atlanta, you know, they had other venues, you know, Talladega, that they weren't, you know, going to take away from them and give to Nashville. So for the longest time, you know, Nashville had, you know, hosted everything but a cup race. And then all of a sudden, the Renaissance, the Super Speedway came in. We thought that, you know, might bring a cup race. It didn't. And then, you know, suddenly the Speedway is shuttered. And then unexpectedly, well, maybe not unexpectedly, Nashville enjoys an incredible growth spurt.
Yep.
And I'm telling you right now, guys, this is another very important aspect of it. Country music became a national thing, a huge national thing.
Yep.
And generationally, the NASCAR drivers all love this city. Coming here, you know, because of the music, but just overall. And then, you know, all of a sudden 2 years ago, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Jeff Gordon all talked about why not Nashville? And I'm shaking my head. I mean, I couldn't believe it. But essentially what we saw was really the culmination of a miracle, because Nashville Super Speedway 2 years ago was on its way to becoming an antique mall.
Yep.
I mean, it just was. It wasn't being used. It had been sold a couple of times. But they did a phenomenal job adding the extra seating. You know, it was full. It was vibrant. It was awesome. It gave me chills. And the other thing was, when there was racing, whether it was IndyCar or anything else, the drivers hated the concrete surface. Mm-hmm. They just did. You know, they like Nashville. They like everything else. But they weren't thrilled with the surface because they felt like it was a one-groove experience, which makes for a boring race. But we saw yesterday, three wide, you know, a lot of groups, you know, getting together and racing against each other on the track, and just the overall experience was unbelievable. They just did a fantastic job. You know, you knew that the pre-race show and the entertainment was going to be first class.
Oh yeah.
But everybody wanted to be a part of the action. Brad Paisley co-hosted with Dale Jr. in the pre-race show, and NASCAR is all in. They're going to turn obviously the fairgrounds track into a boutique track, kind of like the NASCAR version of PNC Park in Pittsburgh, which is smaller capacity but very intimate. And, you know, they're talking about a super speedway, you know, being built in the Nashville area, which I just totally don't see. And that could happen long after, you know, I've left this earth. But but really cool that the Cup came back, Cup race came back, and Nashville responded big time. This is still a rabid racing market, always has been. Look at the ratings. For NASCAR events. So I thought it was fantastic.
Yep, really well done. And I thought the atmosphere really all weekend long, but especially yesterday with the Cup Series race, was awesome. Kyle Larson gets the win yesterday. He has been dominant on the track.
He dominated that race.
I mean, he led for like almost the whole time. Yeah. Yesterday was unbelievable.
Like 260 out of 300 laps.
It was unbelievable to watch what he was able to do. Chase Elliott wins the first stage. But speaking of Chase, about our own Chase McCabe on the PA at NASCAR, it's the Nashville Super Speedway, bringing in Luke Combs on the PA system yesterday. Good stuff from Chase McCabe yesterday and all weekend long at Nashville Super Speedway as well. And we are off and running today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Mark Howard is in for Joe today. Joe, last day of vacation. He will be back tomorrow. And one thing we've not gotten into very deep yet is the College World Series, and that was one of the stories of the weekend here locally. Both Vanderbilt and Tennessee in action. Things didn't go all that well for Tennessee. Vanderbilt with a dramatic win. We'll get to that coming up next. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
1-2, slow roller, it's through! Jason Gonzalez will win it in the bottom of the 12th, and what a night for the 9-hole hitter. Vanderbilt 7, Arizona 6.
How does it feel to be able to get the walk-off hit in a huge moment like that?
It was great. You know, it's just a dream come true to be here, be in this situation. You know, we've all worked so hard to get to this moment, so it's a pretty special moment.
Big night for Vanderbilt on Saturday. They get it done in extra innings, 7-6, with a walk-off hit by Jason Gonzalez to win against Arizona. A 4-hour and 51-minute game on Saturday, the fourth longest game in the history of the College World Series. And, Mark, that was one that was entertaining from start to finish. Kumar Rocker, by his standards, a little bit off on Saturday night, and Vanderbilt coming up with clutch hits. Gonzalez with a hit there. He had a homer earlier in the game. Carter Young, a big home run to give the Commodores the 6-5 lead at the time. It was a game, really, from start to finish, that had a lot of entertainment value.
Yeah, you look at everything Vanderbilt did wrong. You know, Kumar Rocker with a crazy first inning. He gives up, you know, two unearned runs, really one well-hit ball. And then, you know, Vanderbilt falls behind. You know, three errors during the game. I mean, they were doing a lot of stuff uncharacteristic to what we've seen this year. But the thing about Vanderbilt is, you know, they don't quit. You know, they're not going to be psychologically, you know, intimidated during the game or frustrated, you know, by any failures. They're just going to keep coming at you. And up and down the batting order, they got big hits, culminated by Gonzalez, you know, who's a guy who was inserted late in the season due to an injury.
Yep.
And really hit well. And Tim Corbin has kept him in there. And that's, you know, sort of a tribute to the depth, you know, that Corbs has and his ability to, you know, have his finger on the pulse of his team and know who to put in and when. And, you know, he absolutely did that. And, you know, getting through, you know, and Kumar was excellent after the first inning.
Yep.
Until the sixth or the seventh. When he, you know, when he hit a batter and then gave up a home run, you know, he had not allowed a, you know, a player to reach base from the second inning, you know, through the seventh inning. And then it kind of blew up on him again. Vandy fell behind, but then they came back. You know, as you mentioned, the three M's, you know, again, I thought performed marvelously. Maldonado coming in first and then Luke Murphy and then McIlvain. But they did give up that run in the ninth to tie it and had a couple of good chances in extra innings, and yeah. You know, including bases loaded and one out and unable to score. And, you know, you're sitting there going, is it going to be one of these games? Because going through the loser's bracket is a totally different experience.
Yep.
You got to play more. You really have to expend just about every bullet you have, you know, with your pitching staff. And I don't think Corbs, you know, was a fanatic about that. Although it'll be interesting to see, you know, how Friday's game is going to affect tonight's game against North Carolina State.
Yep, and you mentioned Kumar Rocker after the first inning. I mean, you've got errors in the first inning as well. And then he goes out and he retires 15 straight batters after that. And you're thinking to yourself, all right, he's settled in. He's making Arizona look pretty pedestrian out there, given, you know, you're talking about a team coming in that had
a 3-2 outs to start the seventh.
Yeah, you're talking about a team coming into the game that had a 330 team batting average. I mean, it's unbelievable how well Arizona's been hitting the ball. And Rocker made him look pretty pedestrian throughout the middle part of that game. And then they're come in, they're able to get some big hits in the seventh inning. And to your point, Vanderbilt just continues to claw their way back in there. And just, I mean, the base running threats that they have with Javier Vaz out there, Enrique Bradfield. I mean, the speed that they're able to bring to the table. I mean, there was one point in extra innings where Vaz was taking a leadoff. And you could tell on the broadcast, he's completely leaning towards second base because he knows that he's quick enough to get back even if you throw over. Just the speed that they're able to bring to the table on the base path, it's so difficult for other teams to handle.
Well, but I also think, guys, that the underlying theme is, too, is how comfortable Vanderbilt is in games and situations like that.
Yep.
They prepare their whole season leading up to this for what they're going to see in Omaha, the tough schedule, you know, going on the road against highly ranked teams and doing all that. So even though some of these guys don't have College World Series experience, they've still been in big games, high pressure, high leverage situations, and, you know, they will be undaunted when facing that. They might not always succeed, but they're not going to succumb to the pressure.
No, certainly not, and it looks like Carter Young is starting to get healthier and healthier. We talked about that with Tim Corbin last week, and he got some extra at-bats in practice and kind of a live scrimmage situation before they headed out to Omaha. And, of course, he suffered, you know, the shoulder injury a few weeks ago and has found his way back in lineup. He's been an offensive threat all year long, but the last few weeks He's been trying to get that timing back, been trying to get that health back to a level where he can drive the ball with power, and obviously a big home run on Saturday night, a switch hitter. He's been such a huge part of their offense all season long. You know what you're going to get out of him defensively, and it's pretty solid for the most part every time he's out there. But if he can start driving the ball again and get back to that offensive pop that he's had all season long, that's going to be a pretty big weapon for Vanderbilt as they move forward here.
I don't know how the North Carolina State game is going to unfold. You know, one of the criticisms of Vanderbilt during the regular season was that they did not have a definitive closer.
Yeah.
And this might sort of work in their favor. They've got so many arms out there that have been in high leverage situations that if he's got to use somebody else tonight, you know, he's got Hugh Fisher, who's been there for 15 years, I think, and he's just got other guys that he can pull out of the bullpen.
Yep, and it's to your point about kind of being there and handling it, it's really amazing to watch kind of how the evolution of this Vanderbilt program is taking place. We know what Tim Corbin has been able to build, but it's funny to talk about Vanderbilt and say, you know, they don't really need to win everything. Like the SEC regular season title, okay, you can win it, whatever. The tournament title, that's fine. But a lot of Vanderbilt fans, after, you know, a rough showing in Hoover, we're just like, yeah, we don't really care. It's about Omaha. It's like, it's amazing that that program has gotten to this point where it's about Omaha. And you can see them start to build their game and really build, I guess, what they're working for and their poise for this moment. And I thought that came out in full display on Saturday against Arizona. Just to watch that kind of now be the standard for this Vanderbilt team, where we talked about this last week, being there five times in the last 10 years. Like, that's so hard to do. It's so hard to get to this point as often as they've been able to do it in the past decade. And the kids that they've been able to recruit and just the makeup that this team has, that just seems to be the expectation at this point. And it's been pretty amazing to watch how they handle that. Of course, no surprise when you're led by Tim Corbin.
Yeah. And you can equate that to other things that we've seen in the NHL. The Blackhawks never cared, you know, where they were seated.
Yep.
They just wanted to be in the tournament because they knew they could win from the eighth seed, you know, to the one. College basketball, there are teams that don't care if they win their conference tournaments because they know that the NCAAs is the most important thing. And that's pretty evident in highly successful programs.
So a great start for Vanderbilt. They'll be back at it tonight against NC State. Bit of a rougher start for Tony Vitello and the Tennessee Volunteers. When we come back, we will break down a Game 1 loss for the Vols. What's the path going to look like now that they've dropped Game 1 in the College World Series? How much of a chance do we give them as they move forward here throughout the rest of the tournament here in Omaha? We'll get to that coming up next. Right now, though, ESPN 94.9, make sure you're tuned in for that. It is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Be listening in on Wednesday night as Nashville SC returns to Nissan Stadium to face Toronto. Pregame starts at 7:15 and the match begins at 7:30. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Mark Howard in today. Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing the College World Series. Vanderbilt big winners over the weekend against Arizona. Did not go as well for the Tennessee Vols. They're shut out yesterday in their first game of the College World Series against Virginia, losing 6-0. Now in an elimination game coming up tomorrow against Texas. So Battle of the UTs tomorrow in the elimination game against Texas. I believe the game tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Mark, I thought just a game yesterday from Tennessee where everything that we've seen out of this team that we've liked about this team, especially from kind of a swagger standpoint, an attitude standpoint, when they're up at the plate, it just didn't feel like they had it yesterday. And it to me, kind of felt like a game and maybe a team that was in that moment for the first time and in the College World Series for the first time. And I thought maybe it got to him a little bit. And Tony Vitello, we're going to hear from him here in just a few minutes, talked about kind of lacking conviction yesterday, especially at the plate offensively, and that ended up costing the Vols. I thought just never really able to find their footing offensively. They did have, you know, about three different instances where they had two runners on base with nobody out to begin an inning and were just not able – to hit him over at that point and get him in. Just an uncharacteristically rough day at the plate for Tennessee offensively, and it just didn't look like they were as comfortable as they've been in that setting throughout the regional and the super regional as well.
Exactly. I think they got swallowed up a little bit by the moment. I think the first inning, they have first and third and nobody out, and I just thought they were going to go to town against Andrew Abbott of Virginia, and it just didn't happen. And I thought right then and there, it was a deflating moment for Tennessee. Baseball is a game of dealing with failure, and surely they know that. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. And it's amazing when you go to Omaha. You lose that first game, and all of a sudden, you're looking at a quick trip.
Yeah.
You're looking at almost a U-turn. So we'll find out. I mean, Texas is really good. Mississippi State had 21 strikeouts yesterday, which is just unbelievable. But, you know, Tennessee, Andrew Abbott, six really strong innings, struck out 10, worked in and out of trouble. There were a couple of line drives that were caught.
Yep.
And, Tennessee's just got to suck it up. Chad Dallas, was not the guy that we saw down the stretch. They were able, he gave up an early run, and then, they got to him a little bit later. 1-0 lead for Virginia turned into a 5-0. Let's see. I mean, Tennessee, you got to face a little adversity sometimes. And I'm sure Tony Vitello is telling them that, seven teams have won the national championship, taking the scenic route through the loser's bracket. So it's happened before. It can happen again.
And just never really able to get going yesterday for the Vols offensively. You mentioned Andrew Abbott, who was, I thought, really good
yesterday. And then Matt Wyatt.
Matt Wyatt as well. We were really good on the mound for Virginia. And Tennessee offensively sputtering down the stretch. And when it was 6-0, I mean, you just knew at that point, you coming up in that ninth inning, and I could see it on the batters of Tennessee's face. It didn't feel like they had a chance at that point. And Tony Vitello discussed the loss for the Vols after the game and how they bounce back moving forward from here. Here's what Tennessee baseball coach Tony Vitello had to say.
Clearly, we got beat today in a few different facets. Andrew Abbott was outstanding. Chad Dallas gave us a good start to things, too. But Abbott was in and out of the zone and clearly effective. I thought there were some moments there, whether it be on the mound or at the plate, where we lacked conviction, and it cost us a little bit. And then, towards the end of the game, once the score wasn't the way we wanted, we kind of uncharacteristically, I don't know if rolled over is not the right word, but kind of lost our edge a little bit, which has been so beneficial to us. So Vol fans deserve better, because I know they came out in big numbers and certainly have helped us get to this point, too. But it wasn't like there wasn't some try hard out there and some preparation. If anything, maybe there was a little bit too much of that.
So how common do you think that is? And do you think that was the case for Tennessee, that maybe trying to do a little bit too much up there at the plate at times?
Well, I think it's a brutally honest assessment by Vitello. And, that's the way he's coached this team. But, that's what's going to happen in baseball sometimes.
Yep.
You're going to run into a couple of hot pitchers. And let's see what happens, next time against Texas. They're not going to see Texas as ace, but the Longhorns, came in as what, the number three seed.
Yep.
So they're obviously pretty good, but all these teams are good, and that's what Tennessee has to reckon with. They don't have that little bandbox of a stadium where everything goes out for a home run. So we'll see. I mean, obviously, the wind was blowing out at Ameritrade Stadium, and there were a lot of home runs, but there were some well-pitched games. It was weird. You saw on Friday a lot of runs, and then on Saturday, or rather on Sunday, you saw a well-pitched game.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens.
And you would assume Tidwell probably going to be on the mound for the Vols coming up against Texas tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And you mentioned it. I mean, it's not like this hasn't been done before. Seven times have a national champion come through the loser's bracket. Now, it's tougher on the pitching staff, and that's the one thing about Tennessee that you kind of worried about heading into this series. How much depth do they have at pitching? You know, Vanderbilt's got some decent depth as well. Tennessee, a little bit more unproven in that area. That's what you worry about as you move forward here. That's why I thought it was pretty critical for them to win in game one. And you heard Vitello talk about Chad Dallas there. I thought he was okay, but certainly not the Chad Dallas that we've seen coming down the stretch, and certainly in the regional and super regional as well. So that pitching depth for Tennessee about to get tested in a big way starting tomorrow against Texas, because that's what you run into when you get into the loser's bracket. It's going to take a little bit of a deeper dive into your bullpen at that point.
Well, you know, Dallas came into the game 11-1, and they were real. I think Tennessee was really counting on a victory. So now you resort to Plan B, and that's what happens when you go to Omaha. Everybody's good, so a good test for the Vols tomorrow.
And just you think back at that game, two runners on with no outs in the first, in the fifth, in the sixth as well. And you mentioned they hit a couple line drives just right at people. And sometimes that's just the name of the game in baseball. But you got to find a way to move runners over at that point. I thought, and this was kind of something that people were talking about on Twitter in the Vanderbilt game as well. Wasn't a whole lot of small ball this weekend in the College World Series. And we've seen that throughout baseball as well. Not a lot of bunts, not a lot of trying to move runners over that way. I think that's just a larger baseball thing at this point, where small ball, that's becoming a lost art.
Well, Vanderbilt definitely bunts a lot.
They do.
They run. You know, Corbs can beat you a lot of different ways. They can beat you with the home run, and most of the guys you know, are able to bunt. Rodriguez did not bunt.
He did not.
Move the runners, you know, along. So, you know, I'm sure Corbs reminded him of that. But by and large, you're right. I mean, most teams rely on the three-run homer and strong pitching, and that's just sort of the way it is. But, you know, that's why Vanderbilt, you know, is the favorite to win the national championship, because they, you know, there are a lot of different ways they can beat you. And with Jack Leiter pitching today against a really good NC State team, if they get into a situation where they're going to play for one run, Corbin's not afraid to do that.
We knew that Tennessee was going to show up in terms of the fan base being in Omaha, and they did. I mean, some of the videos they put out on social media of the fans kind of walking the team out of the team hotel, there's a ton of orange up in Omaha. What have kind of been your thoughts on watching Tennessee get to this point, and how big, if they're able to kind of rebound here against Texas and stay alive in this tournament, how big is this situation for both Vanderbilt and Tennessee in terms of college baseball and the popularity in this state continuing to build? How big a deal can this be if Tennessee is able to stay alive here in Omaha?
Tennessee's fan base is amazing. Yeah, and you know, of course, we know what football means to Rocky Top. But make no mistake about it. If they're in the NCAA tournament, remember, they were in. They reached the regional final a few years ago, and it was in St. Louis. And Vols fans overran that place.
Yep.
It used to be that women's basketball was, you know, but when Pat Summitt's teams got into an NCAA tournament, the Volunteer Army would show up and be as rabid as they would, you know, on a Saturday afternoon against Alabama. And baseball's the same thing. You know, Tennessee, Knoxville, they have great fans. And if the team's winning, they'll show up. I'm not saying they're front runners. You know, that's not really fair. But if the team wins, they will show up for a big event.
Well, they're just dying for a winner at this point.
They'll travel and everything else. And I you know, listen, I hope Vitello stays at Tennessee. I think he will. I think there are too many compelling reasons for him to stay. He can build his own legacy. He's going to get the facilities that he wants. And he's done so phenomenally well in such a short time that it's going to be fun to have Tennessee and Vanderbilt really good in baseball. It's going to heat up the rivalry. It's going to make that a tough ticket whenever they play, wherever they play. And it's kind of interesting, yeah, having Vanderbilt fans, you know, you saw a lot of black and gold at the Tennessee game. I don't know if they were necessarily rooting for the Vols, but they were there. I'm sure we'll see James Franklin at some point. I think it's neat, Robbie. I really do. I think that college baseball has gotten so much bigger, you know, the last 10 years. And Vanderbilt has become such a vibrant presence in this community. I mean, there is so much youth baseball. You know, dads who are normally, you know, helicopter know-it-all dads for their kids' leagues just swoon when Tim Corbin walks into the room.
Yep.
And that's the popularity of Vanderbilt baseball. You know, Corbin is a guy who just doesn't seem to do anything wrong. You know, he just always knows the right thing to do, whether it's, you know, connecting with the fan base, you know, recruiting, whatever. And they've just become a huge part of the sports landscape here, you know, where 20 years ago we barely noticed them.
Just Tennessee, all they need now is a whistler to go along with it, just like Vanderbilt.
God. Always hope for that foul ball.
He was he's back at it again on Saturday game long.
Please go away.
When we come back, we'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the NASCAR conversation as well. What do we think of this weekend for NASCAR in Nashville, and how does NASCAR kind of connect to that next generation of fans here in the Nashville area? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Mark Howard, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. A big weekend in the world of sports, including NASCAR coming to town this weekend. It was a fun weekend. I knew people that were out there all weekend long in RV campers hanging out at the Nashville Super Speedway. That's a long, hot weekend, Mark Howard.
Yeah, it is. I guess to each his own. But that's great. I mean,
shower free.
Yeah. Well, listen. But what a great visual yesterday. And we haven't seen a lot of instances of fans in the stands filled to capacity.
Yep.
Since the pandemic. So that was a great sight. The race was one-sided and all that, but, you know, just the Cup coming back to Nashville was unbelievable. And to many of us, I didn't think I'd ever see it. I'll be honest with you. And yeah, it's amazing how, and we've learned this either through the pandemic or anything else about, you know, so many myths were busted, you know, through that. You know, college football scheduling. Oh, we schedule years in advance.
Yeah.
We can't change anything. How about BYU and Coastal Carolina? Yeah. You know,
2 weeks out.
2 weeks out. Like 2 days
two
out.
2 days out. Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. So you saw that. And then, you know, I never thought, you know, for the longest time, NASCAR had 100 reasons why the Cup was not coming to Nashville. Well, if Dover wants to do it, if they want to move one of their races, geographically, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And then all of a sudden, NASCAR was having trouble with low ratings, low attendance, and Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Jeff Gordon and a few other drivers. Listen, I remember Bill Elliott coming in, Chase Elliott was really in favor of it. And Chase and Dale Jr., you know, were two of the people involved in, you know, in NASCAR, even though Dale's, you know, essentially retired.
Yep.
But they were really beating the drum for Nashville. Their dads raced here. They wanted to go back to the fairgrounds. You know, initially, a lot of the drivers, you know, my experience covering, you know, racing here at the Super Speedway, whether it was IndyCar, whether it was the trucks, whether it was at that time the Busch Series, drivers didn't really love the track. They loved the venue. They liked the market and all that, but they weren't thrilled about the track. It was by and large one groove, which made for boring racing, but we didn't see that yesterday. And I thought that was a big part of the entertainment factor, because it's going to be at the Super Speedway. At least I don't know what the timeline is, but to see the Super Speedway back up and really looking great, they did a great job there.
Yeah, they did. I mean, it looked awesome yesterday. The TV broadcast part of it looked great as well. And you know, we talked about kind of leading into this. You mentioned the ratings for NASCAR here have always been strong. There's always been a passionate fan base for NASCAR here. My question has been, all right, I remember growing up, obviously the days of Dale Earnhardt racing, Jeff Gordon. I mean, the heyday back in the mid to late 90s, early 2000s, that's when I was a young kid and I was watching NASCAR, and I just haven't since then. And look, Dale Earnhardt had a lot to do with that.
Well,
I'll admit that. But how do you get kind of that next generation of fans? I think it's something NASCAR has been struggling with. I think it's something they've been trying to figure out. So as you look at NASCAR coming into Nashville, how big of a deal do you think that could be for kind of this next generation that live here? And what do you think NASCAR has to do maybe to attract a younger fan base as they move forward?
One thing that NASCAR doesn't have, and I don't know how big an obstacle it's going to be, but when I was covering racing, the fairgrounds was more or less the AAA affiliate, for the Cup.
Yep.
I mean, you had, Darrell Waltrip, who obviously, didn't grow up in Tennessee, grew up in Owensboro, Kentucky. But he and Michael, came through here, Darrell, more so. But, during the NASCAR season, at a certain point, I was covering Darrell. I was covering Sterling Marlin, Bobby Hamilton, and a host of others. When he was racing Jeremy Mayfield, before his career, unfortunately, became derailed.
Yep.
But there were so many different Bobby Jr. There were just so many different drivers that came through the fairgrounds. The Green Brothers. I mean, there were tons. And that just doesn't exist anymore because there's a different way of finding and developing drivers. Unfortunately, I don't think it's ever going to come back to the way that it was. But that's one part of it. But I still think that the appeal of NASCAR will fill the fairgrounds up or the Super Speedway up. This market was hungry for Cup racing, and they got it, and they showed up.
Yeah, they showed up in a big way, and Kyle Larson dominating the Cup Series race yesterday. You had the Truck Series as well, racing on Friday. Just a great weekend of racing here. I'll admit, I mean, I watched the entire race yesterday, and that's the first time I've watched a NASCAR race probably since 2003. I always watched
the Daytona 500, yeah. But I watched the whole race too. Mike Alexander, another driver out of here.
Yeah.
His family, of course, in the car business, but Mike, had a really promising career before he crashed in a Christmas race off season, and he was never quite the same again. And unfortunately, his Cup career ended.
Yep. So we'll see what this does for the popularity of NASCAR here locally with younger fans. But I thought, the geographical thing has never really made all that much sense to me. Like, I get it. You've got Bristol close by and you've got Atlanta and there's all these different things, but I'm glad that they finally wised up and got back. And you mentioned the drivers and that's a big part of it and how much they wanted to come here to Nashville, but there's a rabid fan base here. I mean, there always has been NASCAR and I'm glad that they finally wised up and got back here.
Well, NASCAR had to realign its thinking.
Yep.
And I think they realized that country music and NASCAR are intertwined. They should be intertwined. And what better place than Nashville to do it? Again, the drivers all wanted to come here, which is a big thing. And they figured out a way to make it work. Like I said, for so long, Nashville chased NASCAR and couldn't get it done. And then the NASCAR Awards started, you know, basing itself out of Nashville and talk again about Nashville becoming a venue. And it just made sense. And again, in a sport that's had trouble with ratings and attendance, I didn't see either of those yesterday. I'll be interested to see what the numbers are going to be. It was on NBC Sports Network. But still, I thought it was a pretty good indicator that Nashville is still a pretty hot racing market.
Yep, God bless those people yesterday, too. It was a warm one yesterday out at the track. So,
yeah.
Got out there, got there, stayed hydrated, watched a good race yesterday at the Nashville Super Speedway. Nashville SC fans, join ESPN 94.9 tonight from 7 to 8 p.m. for NSC Backstage featuring Nashville SC players and coaches. NSC Backstage brought to you by Camarena Tequila, the official tequila of Nashville SC. When we come back, we're going to switch gears. We'll get into the Titans and get Mark's thoughts on the offseason moves that have been made, the Titans offense coming in to this season. And I'll throw out this question. Has Ryan Tannehill gotten enough credit for the success of the Titans over the last couple of years? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.